Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Buddy, and welcome back to your favorite G.I. Joe podcast show. We got more Masters of the Universe Revelation. Book four. Can I call it book four Revelation? You see what I'm doing there? A little biblical nod. Anyway, this is Knowing is Half the Podcast, and I am Ray Stakanis.
I'm Robert Clark Chan.
I'm Gene Ippolito.
And did you guys miss us? We took a week off from the show. There was a very special bonus Halloween episode. I don't know what it is yet, but it's going to be pulled from the vault. You guys voted, and that's what you voted for pretty overwhelmingly. You did not want to find your fate episode. You wanted a Halloween episode, and that's fine.
I know it's cheating, but I also voted for a Halloween episode.
Well, there's a shocker. You just put up your Halloween decorations.
I did, and they're pretty dope. I put a graveyard in my backyard, so people will only see it if they're in my backyard, but I just need to lure people to my house to show them my graveyard in my backyard now, instead of putting it in the front yard like I did last year, which was not the best place, because my front yard has grass, but in my backyard, there's a patch of dirt that is just perfect for a graveyard.
So you're going to lure
people. I was going
to
ask if your dungeon
of
10 to 12, 24-year-olds get to out and travel the yard like a prison day, and then they get to see the decorations so you could show them off. Is this like their one chance to see the outside world for one afternoon?
No. I keep them tied up. I want their muscles as underdeveloped as veal. I just grossed out even myself. I'm going to be arrested.
Okay, good.
Does anybody here have one of those 13-foot skeletons? That's
no.
All I want to know.
You know what?
Not
here's the thing.
Yet.
I really wanted it last year. And in hindsight, given that I'm probably going to sell my house and get a condo, it's probably best that I didn't. I don't know how the homeowners association condos feel about it.
Here's the thing. My partner is like, we can't get one of those because we're in an apartment. I'm like, we have a balcony. A 13-foot skeleton peeking its skull over with its hands on the balcony looking over would be the most amazing thing ever.
Wait, how?
Would he be wearing a necklace that says Black Lives Matter? That's what I want to know.
Wait, so it's going on your balcony? And that's, like straight up, like feet on the balcony or feet on the ground, hands on the balcony?
Yes.
I don't think that's someone else's area.
No. Head peeking over the balcony and then hands, you know, like if you were looking over a fence, like Wilson. He's like a skeleton Wilson, skeleton Wilson.
Your balcony doesn't have a 13-foot tall.
Yeah.
Please explain.
You don't have a hedge maze on your balcony. What are you talking about? You don't have room.
Imagine
cut the skeleton in half and just put the upper like torso part, because your balcony can't hold a 13. Look, I'm no physics and geometry major, but I know a 13-foot skeleton does not fit on a 7-foot balcony.
Wait a minute. Does the skeleton, is it like a statue? Is it like you can't move the parts?
It's all like one thing.
All right. Here's the thing.
Somewhat movable.
If I have to saw it in half, I will.
If you just want a head and hands, why would you get the 13-foot one? You know, they make other skeletons that are smaller.
You could just buy a head and hands.
What part of giant head and hands do you not get?
Well, then just buy a giant skull head.
Where do you get that?
I mean,
the internet.
Everything. If I Googled giant skull right now.
I know Gina's doing the rest of this episode.
Yeah, screw this podcast. I'm looking at big skulls.
And this was your favorite episode of Masters of the Universe Revelation up to this point.
Yeah, I thought it was the best of them all so far.
I thought it was the weakest of them all so far.
Well, then I think we know that it clearly was the best. If you, I mean, you're always wrong.
I am the only one with any goddamn consistency on this show. It was terrible. Continues to be terrible. Geez. It's all
How
terrible.
How dare you? This is a wonderful program. And I was wrong. It is great. So this is an episode of Masters of the Universe Revelation, episode 4 of 5. Now, here's the deal. Netflix now has a second computer CGI animated Masters of the Universe He-Man show playing alongside this one. What the hell is going on? Finish this season, Netflix, before you give me a totally different, completely different Masters of the Universe take. I don't understand the philosophy.
Yeah, I mean, it's, if you count the She-Ra remake, there's three, like, you know,
what is
there's
happening?
Three going on.
That's too much.
Also, there's the Swiftwind spinoff, which, I mean, I think we all wanted. And
is that true? Really no,
it is not true.
Okay,
I made it all
you know
up.
What? I don't know. In this day and age, I can see a crossover Swiftwind and My Little Pony.
Oh, hells yeah.
Oh yeah. New ponies. We got CGI ponies now.
Yeah.
I mean, don't ask me how I know about that, but I have a 4-year-old girl.
I don't want that. I don't want that.
New pony. Oh, did you know? Here's the deal. This is my new freshness. Did you know that they're now making animated people ponies? It's the ponies, but they're people at summer camp. They made a whole animated movie. It's the same voice actor.
I don't understand. I don't understand this sentence. I don't understand this
people,
sentence.
But they're the ponies.
So, like, the ponies, like, what? Like, find a magic genie lamp and wish to be human or something?
No. Doesn't explain. They just, you show up and there are people with the same affectations and voices and personalities and abilities as the ponies.
I hate it.
Except they're like,
I'm
going
to start a letter writing campaign to kill it. Nope, I hate it. I hate everything about this.
As
hate it.
My 4-year-old calls it the people ponies. She's a big fan.
I'm going to find out where they make that show and kill everyone in the building.
You're going to find out where they make that show and pitch yourself for season 2. What are you talking about right now?
Googling animated people ponies. Oh, here's a link for DeviantArt. I wonder what's here.
Oh, yeah. No, where do you think the idea for this came from? Straight from DeviantArt. That's a fact. Fact.
All right. Scrubbing my eyeballs now.
People ponies. They're a delight. They do musical numbers. It's wonderful. Anyway. Masters of the Universe, Episode 4, Revelations, Land of the Dead. We knew we were going here after the big surprise Man-at-Arms episode in Episode 3 that we had.
That was Man-at-Arms!
Oh, shit!
Wait, what? We haven't seen him in forever! I thought he was dead!
We just noticed him a scene ago. But I forgot. To be fair, I did forget. So that makes a lot of sense.
They make this show for people like you. People with brain damage.
For only me. Yeah, that's a fact. Okay, so Land of the Dead. Great. So we open up, we're in a cavern. And, I mean, we open up pretty hot. We open up, we're in a cavern. Our whole crew is there. And they say, man, it's kind of mystical. It's magical. It's creepy in here. Turn around. Everybody's gone. Everybody's been warped into 3 different worlds, quote unquote, essentially through the magical energy of the Land of the Dead. It's all illusions.
Yeah, I love crap
bait.
Like that. It's like one whole episode that's just Luke in the cave. And I like stuff like that.
Yeah, and we cut back to Han Solo, like, you know, at a bar, I guess, and Princess Leia in the boardroom. And then we just cut back and forth between these 3 places, and all these things are happening, and they all come together at the end through magic. It's magical. I did think the very funny bit at the beginning where these, like, Evil Lyn and Orko are in a world together where they have to, like, kind of get to know each other and maybe get to like it and respect each other a little bit. Hey, just putting it out there. And there's a great moment to really reflect that Orko sucks at magic, because 2 little, like, birds fly into a nest and he tries to, like, conjure a gigantic magnifying glass so he can find out where the friends have gone, but he ends up redirecting the sun's rays and murdering the birds in their nest. And I laughed an uncomfortable laugh when that happens, because that was cruelly hilarious.
That was a good bit.
I enjoy uncommon pairings, and this episode delivered. Evelyn and Orko get together, and not get together like in a sex way. I'm not even sure how that would work.
They should definitely do that.
And then the girl whose name I refuse to learn, Andrew. Robot Man who has the brain of the guy who we never saw and don't
Domo
remember.
Domo Arigato.
And Beast Man get paired together. So I'm into it.
So yeah, we cut over to Andra, Beastman, Roboto, and they're all of a sudden in this like little, what do you call it? Like a little trench area. And there's like ridges all around them. And they're like, man, where are we? You don't know. Beastman's freaking out. Cause he's like, I'm only here to protect Evelyn. And she ain't even here. I don't care about you guys. This is some bullshit. And these monsters appear on the ridges and they're like, oh, we're about to go. Cut over back to Teela, who's now fighting a guy who isn't Skeletor, but he's exactly like Skeletor, except he's more magical, has a skull head and a body, and he loves fear.
His name is Shadow Realm Skeletor.
Shadow Realm. I'll go with that. His name is Scareglow.
Yeah.
That's a cool name.
Was that had to have been a toy at some point.
Scareglow? I don't remember that being a toy, but it had to be, right?
Yeah, I'm almost positive. I'm almost positive it was.
Are you clearing your Google history so you can look it up?
I'm trying to remember because, like, at some point, I mean, my brother and I had almost all of the toys, so I want to look them up to see if.
Yeah, there he is.
I do vaguely recognize him.
He did not appear on the original Masters of the Universe cartoon show, but he appeared in the comic books of that era and was brought out in the reboot of 2002 to 2004.
Huh.
At some point, Tony Todd did his voice. Wait, did he do it this time? Is that who this? Oh, okay. My bad. Yeah, that was Tony Todd.
Tony Todd. I feel bad I didn't pick that up.
Yeah.
Yeah. When he first started talking, I was like, oh shit, Candyman.
We've said it twice now. Can we not do that anymore, please?
Wait, don't say it, Chan.
Did he show up at?
Whoever says it third, and me and Gina already said it, Chan. So go ahead.
Yeah, it's not gonna happen.
I feel like you know, if he did show up at Chan's, though, Chan would be like, "Oh, do you want some Trader Joe's sauce that's supposedly so good you can eat it like a soup? I made. So I also have some Japanese snacks," and he would be like, "Okay." Excuse me. I sneezed.
And he would freak the fuck out and leave. Because that was the one thing Candyman's allergic to. Oh, I said it a third time. He's here. Fuck.
Once this podcast is done, everyone in your household is murdered.
Well, shit. Well, guys, that one's on me. I'm going to take the big old fat L on that one.
Yeah. And I'm just putting it out there now that everyone.
I'm looking behind my green screen now because now I'm sure he's here.
I'm also just going to put it out there that everyone is going to think you did it.
Oh, yeah, no doubt.
Listen, not only will they think I did it. Yeah, go ahead, Gina.
We will not alibi you. When you say you were recording a podcast, Chan and I will be like, what podcast?
No, we haven't done a podcast in 40 years.
You're not only going to not alibi me, you're going to tell people, oh, he said he was going to do it. And in fact, I have it recorded right here.
He said he bought a hook and everything. It was weird. Like, I didn't even ask.
This is not the best time to have a garage set up with your back to the main part of the garage. I'm not going to lie. This is very uncomfortable right now. Anyway, shit. Well, it's my own fault. So Teela deals with Skelly Man here, Scareglow, and he says, I want a deal because you have fear. And she's like, I fear nothing. He's like, bullshit. You got fear. I know you do. And let's make a deal. I'll give you the death sword that you're looking for if you do my trial. And she's like, let's go. So she falls down into a pit. Now, I love the fact that she agrees that I'll give you my fear in exchange for the sword. He goes, great. And then afterwards, he's like, haha, so if you succumb to your fear, you stay here forever. And I'm like, that wasn't the deal.
Also, like,
that is not even close to what you agreed to.
I want to pay for things in fear. Sometimes I'm low on money, but I can always conjure up some sort of fear to pay for things. Like, I would like to go to Starbucks and
I tell you what,
it's a beautiful cycle because you're afraid that you don't have enough money, thus creating the money to make you no longer afraid.
I used to have a phone case that had a wallet in it, so I'd have my cards in there. Uh-huh. But I switched to a new case, no wallet, which means I have a separate wallet that I keep forgetting every time I go to the freaking store. I realize as I pull up to the cash register and they start swiping the things through, I don't have my freaking wallet. And tell you what, my phone does the little
Apple Pay
thing.
Yeah.
And if we just added one more app that was the Fear Bloop app, I'm all about that. Apple Fear. Yes.
Yeah, yeah. I would pay for everything in Apple Fear. And it's very much like, you know, you're worried you don't have enough money, but I'm also like, if I'm at Starbucks, I'm also like, ugh, God, I'm worried about how many calories are in this. I'm worried about how much sugar is in this. You know, I'm worried about whether or not the workers are getting paid fairly. I could eat at Starbucks for days on my fears.
Yeah. This is clearly Trump tried to build a fear-based economy. And I feel like he just didn't go far enough. Sure. If he had just gone a little bit, an inch more, then we would have been in big time.
Despite what those paintings will tell you, he does not actually have magical powers like Scareglow does. Yeah. Sorry for him. You know,
he does. Deal. I mean, he bad bears a shocking resemblance.
President. Yeah. Also, you don't know what he looks like under his clothes. Chan just found out we have stripes.
There you go.
Well, you didn't know about the stripes?
You don't know about the stripes, do you?
What did you learn about my prehensile tail?
It's wild. Just so saying.
Cut back to Evil Lyn and Orko. They're here in this, what do you call it? Like a sanctuary kind of a place, a nice building where wizards would hang out. I'm sure there's a word for that, but I'm addled. I don't know. I really want to come up with that word though, and I just can't do it. A chantry. It's a goddamn chantry. There we go. And there's a wellspring in there.
I've never been there. Why would you call it that?
I can't believe it took me that long to come up with it, given that half of it's your name. Oh, I got to tell this story really quick before we even continue, because people want the answers to this.
What's happening here?
Remember this, Robert.
Uh-oh.
Last episode. Yeah, we'll get to the back to He-Man in a sec. But last episode, we left you on a cliffhanger because Robert Clark Chan invited an entire podcast crew of like six people to come to my house. So our families could work together to record for this. And what was the name of the podcast, Chan?
I don't even think it has a name yet.
God damn it. They're at your house every day. You don't remember the name of the podcast.
No, literally. I don't think they have a name for the show yet.
Oh, all right.
They're making it.
Yeah, right, Chan. You just don't remember. So he has these people over to talk about, like, what's it like to be a trans and a parent? I believe that's fair. That's the subject matter. Is that correct?
Yeah, it's the whole podcast is what it's like to be trans. That's it. And so like,
okay,
they've got like a bunch of different people in there. Yeah,
I got you. But we were covering the parental side of things and whatnot. So he invited all these people who worked in the reality TV world to come to our house and sit down and do an interview with us, trying to get us to say some very vulgar things they could take out of context and really get us. And they came over.
Boy, I think
set
we
up
figured
in the backyard.
Out if Scareglow ever showed up at your house, what he would be feeding off of.
Oh, you can eat all of my fear of saying horrible things that are taken out of context because I've lived that fear and am guilty of saying things out of context or the wrong thing that I did not mean that is taken the wrong way. Guys, you just described every moment of my life and you basically describe what happens runs through my head when I try to sleep at night and prevents me from sleeping at night. That's it, Scareglow. You got me. Can you take that shit away? I don't want it anymore. Fuck. Anyway, so they come over and what ends up happening, hilariously enough, is because our two children decided they wanted to actively not allow this to happen.
They decided they were going to not
be interested in any activity we have, and instead anybody who's trying to talk on camera or talk on the show, they immediately needed to get their attention to ask them things that they didn't really want the answers to. It was wonderful. So it turned out they didn't want to talk to me at all. They wanted to talk to my wife and Chan's partner to have a conversation of just the two of them about the educational system in Los Angeles. That's what they were going for the whole time. Had nothing to do with us at all. So me and Chan did a My Three Dads, and we pulled child wrangling once we figured out how to make it work to keep the children away from the adults who were podcasting the whole time. But we were still being recorded the whole time. So it was still very real chance something I said is going to get taken out of context. Once they go through that audio, it'll be, and here's this terrible parent, Ray. And you know, and then we're done. My Three Dads is over at that point. You know, what are you gonna do? But anyway, to recap this whole story for the people at home, they weren't interested in me whatsoever. They weren't really interested in Chan whatsoever. And thank God for that, because I felt very nervous coming into it. And it turned out that nobody wanted my opinion on anything. Probably the first time I've been a part of that scenario in quite a while, and it felt great.
Yeah, I pretty much established my bona fides as like the dopey, uninteresting partner here. So like I've got nothing useful to add to this this whole mess. I'm just going to be the background noise, like when they're narrating, like and this person goes to work every day, and then they find it, and then in the background you just hear like as I'm making sandwiches, you know. That's it. That's it. It feels good.
I mean, basically, the only part of me you're going to hear on this podcast is they're going to have a very important internal section about schools, and you're going to hear me in the background being like, come on, get away from the window. Come on. Come on, dude. Come on. Get away from the window.
Oh, my God. If you had any idea how funny this is, because how friggin' accurate, it's pretty amazing.
Because that's all we did.
That's it.
The entirety of it. So anyway, that's my story. I didn't want to leave people with a cliffhanger any longer, because people, I'm sure, wondered what the heck happened with this podcast. It was a whole project, though. It's like,
oh,
it
we'll
was like
back.
Six people with full-on like heavy equipment, like wearing them like they were in the military. Like,
you're
it
not
was
done
like
yet.
A full-on... Oh, yeah. No, you've still got like 12 more weeks, dude. Or I'm
no,
not done
you're
yet.
Not done yet. We'll be back to
no,
your
I'm
house.
No, I'm done.
Oh, no.
No, you're... What? Oh, no. Wait a minute. This is the first I'm hearing about this. I thought we were done.
Like, there's meat on wood. This bone. Let's get back at it.
This is a horror movie. I thought I was out the house, and I got pulled back in the house.
Oh, you Welcome thought Candyman was the worst thing. You were like, podcast crew, podcast crew, podcast crew.
House. No! No! Leave me alone, Real Housewives. Crew, I don't want to say horrible things on camera. Leave me alone. Put that drink down. I don't want it. I do want it. I will drink it. God damn it. Oh my God.
So
anyway,
we
people,
live interesting lives here in Los Angeles.
Guys, when you live in LA, you just have the, you get opportunities to just do crazy shit sometimes. Look, I've been on Hell's Kitchen, I've been on Kitchen Nightmares. Because you just get these opportunities out of the blue one day. Shit, me and Chan were almost on Flora's Lava on Netflix. We were very, very close to that.
Oh, did they turn us down?
They did. Well, here's the deal. It's already shot this season. We were in the final list of people to compete on it. Next time it's going to be me, Chan, and Gina. I just think, you know what? Screw
nope,
it.
Nope.
Are
I
you guys ready
once.
For this?
They, I lied on that application. I was like, yes, I am healthy. I exercise regularly. If
of course
that
you
actually
lied
happened,
in the application.
I would have, oh my God, I would have killed myself.
Now, here's the deal. I'm putting, if I see another ad thing for it, I'm putting all three of us in. Gina, you're in, right?
Sure.
Yep, done. And
Gina Flora's does not lava know what Flora's lava is.
It's fine. Good.
No,
good.
I'll do it.
That makes me better.
Do we win a 13-foot skeleton at the end?
Should I do it
You
for
win
that?
Enough money to buy 2 13-foot skeletons at the
oh
end,
my
but
God.
Not any more money than that.
But can they deliver them to my house? I would rather have them deliver it to my house than have to go out and buy a 13-foot skeleton myself.
Here's the thing. You got to be
oh, I'm sure
on
you can get
top
it delivered.
Of it when they come out in July. That's the trick.
Yeah, yeah.
Truth.
Just buy a giant skull, Chan.
I've looked it up. I honestly did look it up while y'all were talking about some Me Man show. I wasn't paying attention, but they're not really available.
So right. Let's get back to He-Man now. Why not? So Orko gives his wonderful name origin. Were you guys ready for that story?
In a better show, I would have been all about it.
I actually was curious, like, if this is something they invented for this show.
Oh, 100%. It feels very much like, oh, man, this dork-ass thing from the 80s, let's give it a harder edge. Yeah.
But also it makes me think that, like, oh, maybe, like, originally, you know, one of the original writers or even, like, toy creators or something came up with this name and said, like, oh, I was inspired by an oracle. Like,
no,
the original
writers were inspired by a dork. Dorko. And they're like, take the D off and we'll call it good. Dorko.
I'm looking it up.
Okay, here you go. The character was named Gorpo.
Gorpo.
The character
was
named Gorpo in the original series drafts, but he was renamed Orko.
His original name was used
in the Brazilian Portuguese dub of the series. Orko was Gorpo. Not part of the original toy collection, but I did own an Orko toy back in the day. So yes, they did make a toy in the second series.
Oh yeah, I totally had an Orko toy.
A Gorpo, you mean?
Also, in this Wikipedia thing, it says portrayed by Billy Barty as Gwildor in the live action.
And that was the live action
movie. It never occurred to me that Gwildor was supposed to be Orko.
Yeah, no, me neither until this very moment.
Crazy. Because I just thought like they created Gwildor for the movie. I could see how they were probably like, okay, Orko's too insane and he floats and shit. So can we have someone who fills that role of
magic person?
But I never like they're trying to pretend that like, oh, Gwildor is pretty much the same character, but no, sir. I do not like that because I love Billy Barty.
I do like that. I didn't even realize for this He-Man Masters of the Universe. Oh no, okay, excuse me. He's in the new Netflix series that just came out. Orko's played by Tom Kenny, star of course, Mr. Show, SpongeBob. But also the voice of SpongeBob SquarePants.
Yeah.
Kind of cool that guy went in that direction and got himself pizzed.
True that.
And the other one got arrested for the other Mr. Show actor got arrested for being part of the January 6th insurrection. I believe he was a person of interest. I thought he got arrested.
It just looked
like
there.
Him.
Was it?
Oh no, it was
no,
him.
That was
oh,
him.
Was oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, I remember.
Craziest
now.
Thing in the world.
I remember
that
now.
Guy was real funny. They're both real funny. So I don't even know. Like that's wild to me. How you have two people go in very, very different directions in life. Mr. Show, where dreams start. Okay, so we go back to Orko and the Orko name origin. His original name was Oracle, but he was a kid and he said it wrong. So he said Orko, and that's believable. I believe that.
Yeah, yeah.
And then all the kids made fun of him.
That's why I thought maybe this is how they came up with the name.
And now you learn the sad truth that it was even worse than that.
Yo, I think Gorpo's a cool name. What are you talking about? I could see that role being played by Idris Elba.
That is a fucking kid who's like, what is in your pocket? Pull out your, what's in your pocket? Show me what's in your pocket. And he pulls out a handful of fucking nuts and raisins and melted M&Ms, all just one big glop. And he's like, I got trail mix. You fucking Gorpo.
Yeah,
were
that's
you
a
that
real
kid,
Gorpo
Chan?
Right there.
I feel like you were that kid.
How dare you? A. B. How very dare you?
Yeah.
C. I'm going to have to talk to my therapist about this next week. So how dare you once again?
Gina, it goes worse than that. Not only is Chan that kid, Chan is also raising that kid. And you can't tell me I'm wrong, Robert.
No, it's a vicious cycle. It's a vicious cycle. Oh.
G.I. Joe will return after these messages.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Spike!
Hello, Spike Orr, He-Man, and I'm here.
Oh, Spike!
Skeletor, Spike Orr, and He-Man figures each sold separately.
Spike!
No one can stop the spike-studded armor of the mighty Spike Orr. Not even me, you muscle-bound porcupine! Not even you, He-Man!
Spike Orr is new from the Masters of the Universe collection. Other action figures each sold separately. From Mattel.
Back to G.I. Joe.
That was the other thing with the podcast crew and why I keep calling him Robert is because they insisted I had to call him Robert the whole time. Because I called him Chan for like the first hour and they were like, actually, sir, please call him Robert for this production. We will
I would
know
have
him
said, fuck you. And
Robert.
Then I would have rescinded my my piece of paper.
It turned out they never asked me to talk again, so it didn't even matter.
Yeah, send them to my house. I'll call you Chan. I'll give them the runaround for 3 hours. Only refer to you as Chan, and then when they tell me to stop, I'll say you no longer have my permission to film me.
Oh wow, that you wouldn't be the first person. I'll just say that.
Oh snap!
I know, but we also should probably not talk about that.
Here's the thing: in the pre-interviews, my partner kept calling me Robert because you know how some people joke that they have a government name, and then the real name, like it's so much the case that, bosses, teachers, and you know, like government officials and Buzz Dixon, call me Robert. And like everybody else calls me Chan. And yeah. So it's actually helpful because I can tell based on what people call me, where I know them from. If I've only taken one improv class with them, they call me Robert. After like six improv classes, they know to call me Chan.
I've only ever taken one improv class with you. I still call you Chan.
Yeah, but how many sketch things have we done? How many, like, you know. And
nearing 500 podcasts, for example.
My partner, like when they were getting interviewed, like, okay, well, what's your life like? And what is, you know, what's going on? They kept calling me Robert because that's, you know, what you do when, you know, you're being grilled by, you know, people. And so then it stuck because then, they started calling me that. So that if you call me anything else, then it won't make sense. And people who are listening will be like, who the fuck is this Chan person? Why are they? So. Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. No, that's fair. Yeah. Fair.
So you're saying you value the people who think of you as Robert more than those of us who think of you as Chan.
No, quite the opposite.
Oh.
If I distrust you if you call me Robert, because I'm like, all right, you got some sort of angle here, or you're trying to
take that Buzz.
Buzz is the only one with dispensation for that.
Yeah, but okay. Buzz is allowed to call you that because if he didn't and we all just went by our government names, then everyone would be Robert. That'd be very confusing for the show. So now we got Chan and Buzz, but Chan is also called Robert. And that's the story of this. I will not talk about this podcast until Chan brings them back to my house again, apparently. About that. So okay, so Evil, there's a great joke here. I liked it a lot, where Orko says, is your birth name Evil Lynn? She goes, no, it was just Lynn. I added the evil later. And I was like, fuck yeah, you did. Get it, girl. Absolutely.
Okay, I like it because it's that makes sense and it works. It's one of the few things that says to me what the tone they wanted for the show was and that they almost never hit. But immediately after that, there was a horrendously long laugh a long, uncomfortable laugh between the two of them.
You love
that
those.
Was supposed to be like convivial and like, oh, we all know each other a little bit better now.
Uh-huh.
But it just comes off to me as a ha 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 ha.
I remember the laugh and thinking like, ugh, all right, they're doing this. They're bonding these characters, but not, but I don't remember it going on for a long time. I just remember thinking like, well, all right, they're doing it.
In my head, it was like 40
yeah,
minutes.
It's fine.
I think you might be mentally ill, Chan.
And here's the thing is like, I like, the idea of all of this. I like the idea that, his name was Oracle and he just like fucked things up. And I like that, you know, her name was just Lynn and she took it upon herself to add evil to it. She also recognizes that she also has been considered weak by her friends and by her, you know, compatriots and talked down to and all of that. And so she identifies with Orko in that way. But just the way that they did it just feels so plotty. It doesn't feel organic at all. He just like sits down and like, I'm gonna tell you a real, you know, fucking long ass story about my childhood, when there was no sort of arc for him to feel closer to her. He just like sits down and like,
I mean, yes, yeah. I agree with Chan on that, because there was a moment when he starts to tell this story and in my head I was like, Evil Lynn, just tell me you don't give a fuck. Like, it feels more organic, doesn't it? Like, I want to tell you a story about my childhood. I don't fucking care, Orko.
Yeah, I will say it does seem a little strange that they're like in hell in the middle of what they both know is like an enchantment. Like, they don't actually think they're in this library. And like that they're just sort of like shooting the shit. Like if I was in hell and someone was like, hey, let me tell you a story, I'd be like, hey, can you fucking not? Can you wait until we're out of hell? Like until we're like eating a sandwich at Jersey Mike's together and not in the middle of an enchantment that might try and kill. Oh, here it is. It's trying to kill us. Just like I said it would. Maybe if we had spent a little less time chit-chatting and a little more time coming up with a game plan, we could fight this shadow monster now. Chatty Cathy.
You said it yourself. You said it yourself, Gina. Her personal hell is having to talk to Orko about his childhood. So this actually does hold up.
That's true.
It does hold together.
This would probably be my personal hell.
So a big monster.
Listening to like a random comedian talk about their childhood with me, that like who like thinks that we're friends or something, I'd be like, all right, well, I guess I'm dead. I died and I went to hell.
No, I think like your personal hell, Gina, would be you still do this podcast, except me and Chan are replaced by two misogynist dude bros that you have to keep doing the show.
No,
like
comment.
Two guys.
Oh no, Ray. We're the dude bros.
Where's my alt-right Patreon
We've
personality?
Been dead this whole time.
Oh no. We're NPCs in Gina's nightmare. But we don't have that alt-right Patreon money. So it's my hell too. Oh no. Oh man. Anyway, so there's a shadow monster. Cut back to Teela, and we get to reveal her biggest fear, and of course, He-Man shows up and they start fighting. Moving forward, we cut back to Andra, Beastman, Roboto. Now they're fighting. Oh, and I thought they were shadow monsters, but it turns out now they're fighting zombies, and they're fighting these zombies. It's super fun. And then these fire bats show up, and Beastman's like, yo, I do not care for fire bats. I'll tell you that. Look, I'm a friend to all the beasts, but F fire bats. I'm going to tell you that. And we find out that these creatures are being manifested by the fears of Andra. And she turns and she's like, well, yeah, no shit. I'm crapping my pants over here. You're a robot. So obviously they're coming from my fear. And it was kind of a fun moment for me.
I mean, her fear is just like random monsters.
I mean, her fear is that she's in way over her head and she's not going to be able to get out of it, I would figure.
Wait, who? Which one?
No. The one whose name you refuse to remember.
No, yeah. I'm sorry. Who again? No. Yeah, it seems to me that like, so clearly like Beastman is seeing something different. His fear is like vampire bats, I guess. Right? Like, he's like whipping
vampire. No, he doesn't. He does not care for them.
The robot sees the shadow monsters as they are, just as regular shadow monsters, because he truly has no fear. And then, Andra,
gotcha.
Her fear is zombies, which I'm assuming will get explained at some point.
There's
basically each of them have multiple shadow monsters in each reality, and that's why, like, in even with the orcos, they see at first it's like an orco, but then it morphs into this big shadow monster. I'm assuming because both Orko and Evelyn can sort of see beyond magic, so it was too hard to sort of maybe maintain that illusion shape. But yeah, Andra, it's all the same. They're all fighting the same things, because if you look, if you go back and watch, when the robot looks at Beast Man, from Beast Man's point of view, he's whipping little vampire bats out of the air. But from the robot's perspective, it's all just shadow monsters.
I completely
like that.
It's going to shock you, but I did not pick up on that.
Oh, here's the thing. Like I said, because we had watched this a while ago, and I rewatched it today. So I think rewatching it helped me pick up on some things that I hadn't noticed the first time. Hence why I liked it a little bit more, because I noticed sort of the effort that they were putting in. And that was one of the cool things, that it was all of their fears manifest in a different way.
I was looking for that and didn't see it, and I dinged the episode for that reason, but that makes more sense, and I will give them credit. I'll give them half credit.
Great. All right, we're up to a half star. I'll take it. That was actually really cool then, and way cooler than I thought it was. Thank you, Gina, for explaining television to me. Uh-huh. We should watch Legion together sometime.
And now we're back in Gina's private hell.
Oh, we're back. But seriously, can I pick your brain about something?
Just endless amounts of emotional labor to explain Legion to someone.
Please. Oh, we're talking hours and hours, and now there's season two. And I guarantee I haven't seen it, but I guarantee I don't understand it. I guarantee that right now. And why is Mr. Noodle here? What is happening on this show? Anyway.
Do you think that when you watch Broad City, Ray?
Wait, is he on that too? I've never seen Broad City.
Oh, god damn
and
it.
And a chill fills the room. I saw the Amy Schumer show. Come on. Can I get a point? Point and a half? Oh, my Yelp review is going in the toilet. Cut back to Evelyn and Orko. They're running and hiding from the giant shadow monster. Orko's like, I'm going to do this. We got to take this thing out. Let's go. We cut back to Teela. And this is really the meat of this episode. Teela fighting He-Man and talking her way through her internal fears as He-Man psychoanalyzes her, both as He-Man, then as Teela, then as Scareglow. I thought this scene was like the jam of this episode, where he's like, okay, He-Man's like, you're fighting and you're all alone, and that's your fear, is being alone. And she's like, it's really not. He's like, okay, I got it. Most people are afraid that they're ordinary, but you're afraid that you're not ordinary, but you wish you were. She's like, all right, getting a little bit closer. And then he starts like really like breaking it down, turns into Teela. They start fighting. She says at the end of it, you cannot have my fear in exchange for that sword. and the Scareglow is just like, yo, we made a deal. But I'm like, bitch, you changed the deal. So now she's changing the deal. Suck it, nerd. And, so she ends up nailing Scareglow, blowing him out, taking the sword. At the exact same time, Evelyn and Orko work together to blow out the shadow demon. And Roboto and Beastman and Andra work together to have this like giant, like a giant laser beam of light that just melts everybody from Roboto's chest. And they just blow out everybody with sunlight. So all three sets of heroes in their respective universes get over the monster at the same time. Real gosh darn cool scene.
I dug this. I enjoy anything that sort of alters reality in hell, like an altering reality again, like the Luke Skywalker in the cave scene. Those are scenes I always dig. So yeah, to me this was sort of proof that this episode was a little bit more serious, I guess. I don't know.
I didn't like because when they say at the beginning, it was like something about your fear. At last, so much anger, masking so much fear. Gesundheit.
Thank you.
Why aren't you hitting your cough button, Gina? Why don't you have a cough button on your microphone?
There's a cough button?
There is not.
Is that a thing?
It seems like one of those things, like how it took me 2 years of podcasting to put my little fluffy thing on the top of my microphone.
I'm just shocked you still do it.
No, I now I just put it away with it on.
Okay, you know what? Yes. Yes.
And I'm too lazy to take it off.
I'm still weirded out that you put your wanking plush on top of your microphone, but like, you do what you got to do to, you know, get in the mood. When they first came in and Scareglow was like, you got so much fear. I was like, oh, geez, they're just ripping off Empire. Like, it felt like a ripoff rather than an homage to me. And the twist of how she, uses her fear.
That was cool.
I did like that, but I did not like that they were so just really exposition-y about it. And you're like, oh, this is your fear, and now I am facing my fear. When you have this kind of sort of metaphorical, you know, battle, like, I kind of want to figure a little bit about myself. And when you're just like putting it out there, just like, this is the thing that I fear. I fear that because my parents did this to me, and now as a result, I don't deal with trauma properly. It just feels real clunky. So,
yeah. Like, so what I hear you saying, Chan, is when you go to therapy for your next session, you would really help you if your therapist dressed up like He-Man and got into a sword fight with you during the session.
What I'm saying is I would rather it be more of a Lynchian thing where I'm just wandering around endless abyss, not knowing what's happening. Weird people come up to me and say, like, are you the arm? And I'm like, don't know. And then I wander around until I eventually find a shadow, you know, version of myself that I then have to either kill or have sex with, or ideally both.
Yeah.
Before realizing that I really need some antidepressants.
Okay. I'm on board with this up until the antidepressants part. Maybe, for me, I personally just get a sandwich in the end.
Mm-hmm. So you're using food to self-medicate is what you're saying, Gina? Please.
Yeah, absolutely.
Let me introduce you to your shadow self.
Gina. Look, if my shadow self is like, eat a sandwich, I'd be like, yeah, I'm pretty sure you're evil and this is an evil sandwich, but fuck it, I'm going to eat that sandwich.
Yeah. And to be fair, I would go to the end of that, and the end of it, my therapy would be a podcast. So this all holds together. Chan antidepressants, Gina a sandwich, Ray a podcast. That's how we got here. That's the Knowing Is Half the Podcast origin story.
That's the secret sauce that you're subjecting yourself to on a semi-weekly basis.
We all got a secret note that told us to be at a Chanchin South at a certain time at a certain place. We showed up and there was a darkly lit room with a round table in the center with just a bottle of antidepressants, a sandwich, and a microphone on it. And this podcast started, which isn't that far off from what actually happened.
Not that far, honestly.
Not that far off at all. Honestly, terrifyingly so. It turns out Scareglow thinks he's going to get over this whole time. And Teela's like, you're in my nightmare now. And I'm like, that's rad. Kick his ass, Seabass. Let's do the thing.
I mean, welcome to my nightmare.
It was a little...
Oh, no, I'm sorry. Not even that. It's I'm your worst nightmare.
Your worst nightmare. Yeah.
I mean, she said it and I was like, why didn't I just go full Sylvester Stallone? Why not just Sarah Michelle Gellar just be like, I'm your worst nightmare. Hey.
Would have been great.
Wait, what you're describing is awesome, by the way.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You. It would have been awesome, but it's not.
Good moment.
So it is not awesome.
So our heroes magically have been teleported all back together again. Evil Lynn says, you got that underworld sword? Give it to me. And Teela's like, no, I'm not going to give it to you. And Evil Lynn's like, yo, I'm literally the only person who can use that sword to get us where we need to go next. And Teela's like, oh, right, I should probably give you that sword. And it was a fun moment for me. Evil Lyn uses her scepter and the sword's powers together to make a portal to Preternia. Eh? Subternia, Eternia, and then Preternia, which, weirdly enough, Preternia is an afterlife. I don't think they really thought this through. Shouldn't it be Post-Ternia? But I'll forgive them. I'll forgive them.
I mean, I figured it was some sort of analog for South Africa. It was like Pretoria.
I thought it just meant premature ejaculation.
Of course you did. Gina, there's nothing else you would have thought it is. And that's why we love having you on the show.
Preternia in my pants.
Some dude out there somewhere is going to be having a private moment. He's going to remember you saying that. And he says, here comes the Preternia. And you did that, Gina. You made someone do that.
Yeah, you put that out in the world. That's on you.
Yeah. I hope you're proud, Gina Ippolito.
I am.
I mean, why not? Why wouldn't you be? But before they can get through that portal to premature ejaculationia, the Scareglow shows up and he creates stone vines that tie up everybody's legs and incapacitate them. And they can't get through the portal. Everyone is doomed. And then that's the end of the episode. No, because Orko, who flies and can't be pulled down by stalactites or vines made of stone coming from the ground. This would be stalagmites. Don't worry about that, science nerds. Orko says, I'm going to fight Scareglow right now. And he pulls out this ring move, which is pretty cool. He says, I can't really beat him, but I can slow him down enough time for Teela and everybody to escape. So he puts together, Sonic would be proud. He puts together three rings, larger in scale, and each one has more force. And it's a cool moment as Scareglow is pushing through the three rings of force because his little skelly cloud thing isn't working. And it's really fun. So he finally pushes through, grabs Orko physically, and Orko immediately takes one of the rings and slaps it around his wrist. He's like, oh, I got you now, biatch. Second ring comes down, and it gets real small and goes around like his torso. And he's like, oh, my rings has got you. And then, boom, explosion. Rings explode while Scareglow is wearing them. That's going to hurt. He ends up wiping out Orko, wiping out Scareglow, wiping out the cave, and giving everybody time to escape, and the portal closes as rocks fall and everybody left dies. Guys, this was a cool action scene. I'm assuming we're all on the same page.
This was a good scene. I did like it. As always, I don't feel like these pieces, like the cards that you put up on the board when you're like, okay, this is what this episode is going to be. We're going to do this and then this thing and this thing. Like, the connections don't ever match up and the arc doesn't feel natural. But the scene in and of itself, like Orko getting his power and, you know, confidence and doing the thing, worked real well and I liked it.
He did the thing.
I was unhappy with what happened afterwards. This was good.
I feel like Chan, you started this out by saying that you hated it. It was the worst one yet. And we've identified two scenes that you thought were good.
Two scenes out of an entire friggin' episode.
Out of like 20 minutes.
To be fair, they were the longest two scenes.
Yeah.
Thank you. It's like half the episode. Look, I liked half the episode, but I'm Robert Clark Chan. I only focus on what I didn't like.
This is how I make my way in the world.
The font for the credits was embarrassing. Oh my goodness gracious. Okay, so they got him and the portal closes as they get to Preternia, and right before it closes, a little Orko piece of his cloak, a little sash, floats through into Preternia, so we all know Orko's dead. What a tear-jerking moment. I compare a lot of things to this, but it reminds me a lot of when the Dungeons & Dragons live-action movie tried to make me sad that the Wayans brother died, and I was like, nuh-uh, movie, no. You can't make me feel sad that Orko died, but I can at least respect the character on the way out the door.
Yeah, okay.
I think he'll be back. I mean,
oh yeah, no, absolutely.
He dead.
Oh, he's, Ray thinks he's dead. Not going to be back.
You can't kill Gorpo. Come on. He's a fucking action figure.
I'm going to say he's dead. And I'm going to say he's dead because we were promised a second half of 5 more episodes of this. And instead they released a completely different He-Man show. So I'm going to say we're never going to see the other 5 episodes. Therefore, he's dead last time we saw him. Loophole.
Here's the thing. They're about to be in heaven. Isn't he just going to... Yeah, he's just going to be up there.
I guess if he doesn't show up in heaven, that pokes a strong hole in my theory, doesn't it?
I mean, he could also, maybe because he died in the underworld, he could be trapped there, I guess.
There we go. I'll go with it. Thank you, Gina. Proven. Proof positive. Subscribe to my alt-right Patreon. I have the real truth. Man, I could scary do that character well. That's upsetting. I'm not happy with myself right now, how easily I could slip into that role. Anyway, we're here in Preternia, and we meet Prince Adam, who is dead, and he's all like, hey, what's up, everybody? And everybody's like, let's fight. And then that's the end of the episode.
Yeah, the bit where it's like, oh, this alliance was a mistake. I'm gonna kill you now in heaven. Just like doesn't make any sense.
Yeah,
again, it was like
I
a
agree.
Card that's on the board that doesn't, you know, connect.
Yeah, I agree. I also think, like, again, it sort of paints Teela as this like emotional woman. Like, they just made it through this in large part because of Evelyn, and just because one thing doesn't go her way, she's immediately like, oh. Let's nix this plan that we've had all along. Like, it just, it rings false to me. And it also, especially because she was just supposed to have had this big revelatory moment about what drives her and what her fears are. And then she's immediately like, I'm a petty bitch. I was like, come on, who's writing this? Get a woman to write this shit. What are you people doing? I'm surprised she didn't get into a fucking tickle fight with Evelyn there in their bra and panties.
I mean, Gina, you haven't seen episode 5 yet. We go to some interesting places. And I will say, available for your ringtone downloads, Gina saying, I am a petty bitch. We really should have a collection of these that we could sell for $9.99. Your favorite ringtones from Lines Spoken on Knowing is Half the Podcast. We would sell at least 3 of them.
Dang, we should totally do that. We need an intern to go back and listen to all our old episodes.
Oh my God, we really do.
For college credit. No.
We could probably get that too.
College credit?
No. Yeah, I need to graduate.
Wait a minute, are you going to be your own college intern for this?
Are you not allowed to do that? Who are we talking about? Like, here's the deal. If you would like at home, if you enjoy the show, and you would like to listen to every episode of this show ever, and then pull out timestamps of specific episodes of specific lines that you would think would make great. If you're in the process of listening to the show already, and you want to do that, we will happily take timestamps and episodes names and who said what, and we will cut these together if we get enough suggestions. I'll make a super link, and we'll turn it into a bonus episode. How about that?
Oh, yeah. Oh, seriously, if anybody wants to just send us timestamps from episodes of cool links or just cool, funny, whatever. Why am I saying cool like we've ever said a fucking cool thing in our lives on this show?
Oh, we've done a Fonzie episode, sir. We've done a Fonzie episode. We've touched upon cool. Thank you.
Talking about a cool thing is not a cool thing. In fact, it's the opposite.
You just caused all podcasts to fall inwards upon themselves.
Send us a timestamp of anything that you like, and I will cut it out, and we will, I don't know, send you a tiny MP3 that you can make into a ringtone or whatever.
I want to do a best of clips episode. Top 10 is voted by the fans. Sound polls. Oof. From the history of this show. It'd only be like a 15-minute episode, I say now. And then you would have those all at your disposal for all of the joyous MP3 ringtone delight that you would want. We'll call it the ringtone episode. And it starts with Gina saying, I'm what was it? What was the line?
I'm a petty bitch.
Yeah,
I'm a
petty bitch.
That's in the top 10, guaranteed.
We call it the soundboard episode, so you can make crank calls and like, I'm a petty bitch. I'm sorry, this is a Domino's.
You know what? Oh, you Jane, if you made a soundboard of these, though, you could just do them like a radio show, a wacky morning show, and just drop them in the show whenever you felt like it. And we would be much more hilarious then, right?
Here's the thing. If we made the soundboard like that, it would only take about a half dozen clips from each of us so that for people to make their own episodes.
You're not wrong.
They just like string together a couple clips from a cartoon and just us saying like, what is even happening here?
Yeah, and it's me saying, here's a clip of the show. And then we play the clip and then Chan's just voice saying, I didn't care for this.
And then Gina, I'm a petty bitch. That's all this is. That's all this ever is.
Oh, yeah. That's a good episode. Honestly, like, why haven't we done that? That should just be an episode of the show.
Because we're too lazy to actually find the clips.
Yeah, that would take many hours of work to do, and none of us have the time. I mean, well, all three of us were unemployed, like, not that long ago for an extended period of time. We didn't have the time then. So we definitely don't have the time now. Dear Lord. And that's our show, everybody. Masters of the Universe. Revelation episode 4, Land of the Dead. Guys, I at first thought I did not care for this episode. I turned out now I love this episode. Gina, you were right. I was wrong. Chan also loved this episode, but he won't admit it. And I'm fine
to be clear, I didn't say I loved it. I said loved like it was my favorite so far. And I liked
T-Man
it.
Ever.
And I liked it.
So you better than any Deke episode of G.I. Joe. Oh. What was that, Chan?
Better than any Deke episode of G.I. Joe.
By far.
Yeah.
With the exception of the couple that Christy Marks wrote, I would say every episode of Masters of the Universe Revelation is better than the best Deke episode not written by Christy Marks. I'll put it out there. Anyway, that's our show. There's a social media stuff you can hit. Facebook.com/knowingishalfthepodcast. You can find us on Patreon. Now, we haven't done anything for the patrons in a little while, so I think it's high time we break open the bank and buy everybody's stuff. I don't know. Chad, what do you think?
Sure. Y'all want some edibles?
No, we're not giving... Chan, those are for the trick-or-treaters. We don't give those. Why the F does that show up on my Facebook storyline all the time? Be careful. The San Mateo Police Department wants you to know these edible candies look like Halloween candy. Yeah, but nobody's giving them the fuck away. That shit's expensive, and no one's giving it to children when they could be using it themselves, aka the goddamn reason they bought it in the first place. Mm-hmm. Why
you
do people still fall for this shit?
I mean, there was just a 60 Minutes episode about why.
Oh, was there?
I mean to say the Facebook whistleblower. And it was just like, if people are mad, Facebook makes more money. So Facebook keeps posting stuff to make people mad, whether it's true or not. There you go. That's it. That we already knew that. But now, like, here's some actual documents and, nothing's going to happen. Nothing's going to change.
Nothing's going to change. You know, Facebook tried disappearing earlier this week, but we still found them. We still found them. Nice try, Facebook.
Then Twitter crashed because no one knew what to do. So they all went to Twitter, which is hilarious to me because like all of this discourse on Twitter was like, oh, thank God Facebook is down. Oh, my God, just stay down. And it's like all of you people are still on Twitter. Like social media-ing it.
Yeah.
Twitter's great. What are you talking about?
I put up my Halloween Twitter decorations today.
Hey, speaking of Twitter, we're on Twitter. And you can check us out at G.I. Joe Podcast. But individually, I'm at Almighty Ray.
At 999 RPMs.
I'm at Gina Ippy. And also, a friend of the podcast recently made us Animal Crossing.
Oh, Guama, character. Thank you so much for that. She made her Animal Crossing and created all three of us as avatars
in Animal Crossing. And also, like, not just, like a whole backgrounds for us. My walls were covered in animal paintings, so it was very accurate.
Oh, I didn't notice the backgrounds. I'm going to have to go back and relook at that again.
You're going to get mad that I didn't notice something, please. I want to say you were doing something real stupid, and now I can't remember what it was, so I'm going back in. I feel like Chan was, like, rocking out or something. I think, Chan, I'm surprised you don't remember this. I feel like the fact that we didn't all talk about this, I think it was a very cool thing that Guama did, and...
Oh, there's the pictures. So let's see. Gina has a lava lamp and a lot of pictures of cute animals on her wall.
Accurate.
And yeah, this looks like this is an Animal Crossing. This is a picture taken from your literal house. I am in a Zen meditation studio with a couple of birdhouses indoors and some plants. So, Ray, and a lot of windows. She does, in your freaking garage.
Ray, that's me.
Oh, that's you.
How do you not know the difference?
Oh my god.
Wait, am I the fire engine?
Do you really?
Oh wait, that's Chan. So Chan is in a meditation studio.
Listen. I was trying to figure out if Ray was making a joke here or if he legitimately thought that the black-haired, glasses-wearing guy was him and the red-haired idiot in a room full of sports shit was me.
Oh, she got it right. There's a pinball machine and a foosball and table tennis.
You're in your garage in the picture. Can I just say that I just had one of those moments? Like, have you ever been reading like an article or like a series of tweets or something, and you realize like halfway through that the person it's about is like very clearly mentally ill, and it like changes your whole perspective on it. Like, I think I just realized like Ray actually probably does have brain damage. And I had like a whole, like, I went through a whole lot of emotions of like, oh, we shouldn't joke about this if he really has it. But like, clearly he does if he's looking at a series of pictures and doesn't know what he himself looks like.
Okay, listen, I didn't look at all the pictures before I made decisions, and all I saw was that the character had glasses, and then immediately made up my mind it must be me. Now, I understand that Robert Clark Chan also wears glasses, and that obviously it's him, but when you've already decided something in your head, it's over. Like, one time I was driving home, at night, and I had a full can of something, and I said, I've got a full can of Diet Coke. And so I'm driving at night, it's dark, and I open the Diet Coke, and I'm drinking the Diet Coke. This tastes real funny. This Diet Coke must have gone bad in my car, I guess. Drinking the Diet Coke, I'm just like, it's just so fucking weird tasting. But yeah, obviously, that's Diet Coke. I get home.
He finished it, by the way.
I did finish it. Of course I finished it. And I get home, and I look at it was Diet Dr. Pepper. So my point is, once you've decided something in your brain, sometimes it's very difficult to convince yourself it's not what it is.
There are four pictures, and they're all right there. And there are two women, one white guy, and one not white guy. And I'm surprised you didn't look at the picture of me and go, oh, look, there's me. I've got animal pictures on. I've got long brown hair. that's crazy. You're a crazy person. But again, if you actually do have brain damage, then I have to reevaluate how he talks to you on this podcast.
Oh my goodness. Gina, I've been very open about my pro wrestling career and the number of chair shots I've taken to the head over decades. So don't worry about it, is what I'm trying to say. I've come to grips with it. I think it's time we all do too.
And that's our show.
In the center of the universe, on the planet Eternia, looms Castle Grayskull, ancient fortress of mystery. Its power sought by the dark forces of Snake Mantle, sanctuary of sin and sorrow, ruled by the demon Skeletor and his evil acolytes. And the only thing that stands in their way is Prince Adam, who defends the secrets of Castle Grayskull as He-Man, the most powerful man in the universe. Only four others share this secret, guardians of Grayskull all, amidst an army of the honorable,
committed to guarding Castle Grayskull from the havoc of destruction. For those who control Grayskull control the power to be masters of the universe.
Hey, it's Brent Pope, the host of Breakfast with Brent Pope. You've seen me on some of your favorite TV shows saying things like, "Give it up, Jimmy, you gotta sink this putt to win," or "I wouldn't jump up and down until we stabilize the hydraulics." On Breakfast with Brent Pope, I sit down with guests from the entertainment world, working actors, comedians, writers, stunt people, you get it, and we do it all over breakfast, or should I say, Breakfast. Every week is a new episode of Breakfast, and here's what you get. Inside Hollywood info, like, how cool is it to act with Ed O'Neill? Spoiler alert, it's really cool. And what the heck is a gaffer? You get great Breakfast recs and foodie debates like, when should you go hash browns and when do you go home fries? I know the answer to that. Trust me, my pancake posse, my bacon brigade. Listen up, because Breakfast is the most delightful 30 minutes of your week. So dig in, it's Breakfast time. Breakfast with Brent Pope, available at Breakfast.com, Apple Podcasts, or wherever fine podcasts are found.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.